Please be seated. You got your Bibles? How about all your electronic devices with your Bible apps on them? Yep, you got them with you. That's praise God. Well, then that means we're ready to get started and to get into God's Word, especially to see what He has to say to each and every one of us this evening. We're going to open up to Galatians chapter 3. Now, how many of us have ever said these words to our parents? You were right. I should have listened. I don't know anybody who can say or admit that those words never came out of their mouths. You know, when I was growing up as a child, which was a long time ago, we learned to play outside. Because, see, we didn't have all the television that goes on now. We didn't have all the iPads. We didn't have the iPhones, all those digital devices. We didn't have Nintendo. We didn't have Wii. We didn't have Xbox 360. They didn't have any of that stuff. So we would play outside. And if you found us watching TV, it was usually on Saturday mornings. Cartoons. And who else? Tarzan, right? Johnny Weissmuller. I mean, Johnny Weissmuller. You watch him get in that water, swimming. He was wrestling alligators. They didn't use stuntmen. He was wrestling alligators, which was cool when I was growing up. And then his best friend was a monkey. Never really gave him any trouble. Well, it was a little mischievous, but, you know. But I thought that was cool. And then he had that yell, and he commanded the animals. He commanded the animals. Every time he did that yell, they moved. And then whatever he would say to them, whatever language, I don't know if he was speaking in the Holy Ghost to them, but those elephants charged and did whatever they want, whatever he wanted them to do. And then, ultimately, he would grab that vine and swing on them vines. Was that awesome watching him swing on them vines and he'd grab the next one? Well, when I grew up, like I say, we used to play in what we always played in the woods, right? Well, down from where we lived, there was a big open area and went out and went into the woods. But then once you crested into the woods, there was this cliff. But down there on this cliff above it, vines. Vines were everywhere. Well, guess what? We used to get on there, and that's where we would play. We'd grab them vines, and we'd be swinging out around the hills. Well, then there were some nice big ones. And we realized we got them cut free at the bottom. Boy, hey, they're pretty strong. Right? You grab a hold of it, and you swing out, and it goes out over the cliff. And you come back and say, wow. And it landed back in there. It was, okay. Do this again. And when I went out the second time, I remember the vine made a jerk, and I heard a noise. Do you know what I did? I let go. The landing was not fun. I still have the scars on my legs and that. But I remember the guys, everybody got together, got me up, are you okay? Blood everywhere. Take me up to the house. Knock on the door. Get my mom to come out. And I'm sitting there on the porch. And they went, okay. Nobody's sticking there with me. Well, mom comes out. And she's, oh, what happened to you? And I said, we're just playing, mom. Dad comes out. And he said, where was you at, boy? And I said, well, we're just down in the woods down there, by the cliff, Dad. And he says, didn't I tell you to stay out of there and stay away from that cliff? I says, yeah, I know, Dad. I should have listened to you. You know what? That left a lasting mark. And to say I never went back and did it again, well, as they say, boys will be boys. Well, anyhow, you're there. Open up to Galatians chapter 3 there, as I said. And we're going to look to verses 2 through 5. And it says, this only I want to learn from you. Did you receive the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Are you so foolish? Having begun in the Spirit, are you now being made perfect by the flesh? Have you suffered so many things in vain, if indeed it was in vain? Therefore, he who supplies the Spirit to you and works miracles among you, does he do it by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Everyone wants to receive what God has for them in their lives. And here is where we're going to find the key on how we can and do receive everything that God has for us in our lives. That is assuming that you've accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior. And from looking around, I know all of you have. So the key, though, is having faith in Jesus. Okay? Let's continue reading here. Start in verse 6. Just as Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness, therefore know that only those who are of faith are sons of Abraham. And the Scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the Gentiles by faith, that's us, preached the gospel to Abraham beforehand, saying, in you all the nations shall be blessed. So then, those who are of faith are blessed with believing Abraham. For as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse, for it is written, cursed is everyone who does not continue in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. But that no one is justified by the law in the sight of God is evident, for the just shall live by faith. How are we to live? By faith. Yet the law is not of faith, but the man who does them shall live by them. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles in Christ Jesus, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. So how do we receive the promise of the Spirit? Through faith. Through faith. The only way that we can receive Jesus and what God has in store for us, or anything for that matter, is by faith. Turn to Ephesians there, chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2. Because you and I were saved by grace through faith. So let's look at verses 8, 9, and 10. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Faith. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And we know without faith, it is impossible to please God. So faith is important, is it not? And how does faith come? Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Hebrews 11:1, Hebrews 11:6, and Romans 10:17. Redemption is only found by our faith in Jesus. Healing is only found by our faith in Jesus. Prosperity, righteousness, our whole walk is found in Jesus by our faith in Him. And our faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Hearing, then, must be important. Tony, I know you like this one. I thought of you and I thought of Timmy. There once was a young man back in the late 1800s who wanted to be a telegraph operator, and he went to apply for a job. The applicants were so many that day, and there was standing room only in the waiting area. The interviewing was to have started early in the day, and the man had been held up and was late arriving. Thinking his chances were slim to none, with so many fighting for an opportunity, he sat down on the floor, still willing to wait for his turn. He noticed that all the applicants were complaining about how it was taking too long. And didn't they know that it was hot in there? About 5 minutes after arriving, he got up. He went over. He opened the door to the man's office who was going to do the interviewing. Everyone there thought, "Who does this guy think he is?" Paying all of them no attention, he walked through the door and he closed it. And as soon as he did, the gentleman inside said, "What do you want?" And the young man said, "There was a message that I heard in the waiting room. And it told me to come in here, that I had the job if I wanted it." "Welcome," the man said. "I've been expecting you. Have a seat. You've got the job." He went on to tell him that the entire day, during the time everybody had been in the waiting room, a telegrapher had been tapping out the message he had heard in there repeatedly. "If you want the job, come into my office. You've got the job." His ears were open, and he was hearing. And what's Jesus say? He says, "He who has ears, let him hear." See, and that's something that God wants us to know, because that exact phrase is mentioned some 51 times in our Bible. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. See, it's like he was, and he is still saying to us today, "Hello, can you hear me now?" Yeah. Right? Can you hear me now? Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Amen. Okay, listen carefully to this. Spoken words, faith released, and action applied produces answers and our needs met. Yeah. Let me say that one more time. Spoken words, faith released, and action applied produces answers and our needs met. Anything that Jesus states in the Bible is a promise to him who believes. Do you believe? To him who has ears, let him hear. Right? To him who has ears. Do y'all have ears? Then he's talking to each and every one of you. And when he says, "Let him hear," he is calling for us to pay careful heed. It's another way of him saying, "Listen up. Pay close attention." Just like in the story, there's a lot of people waiting on an answer. And they need to be met in the waiting room of life. And most are complaining, maybe not outwardly, but inwardly, about how long it's taking. All the while, they need to just stop what they're looking at, and that is themselves. They need to look to Jesus, and they need to listen to what he has already said that he would do, and start living. Stop, look, listen, and start living. Yeah. It's not that hard. Romans 12, chapter 3. "For I say, through the grace given to me, to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith." All the promises to us in the Bible comes by hearing and receiving them by faith that he has already measured and given to each and every one of us. God has dealt to every man the measure of faith. Think about this question for a moment. How much faith do I have in the measure of faith God has dealt to me? Do you think maybe God gave you a smaller measure of his faith than he gave to anyone else? You're right. No, he did not. Our God is so exact in everything that he does. If you take that glass and you probably put it in there, that amount of faith, say in a glass, each glass was the same. Every glass, everybody got the same. Yeah. That's what it says. Every man, the measure of faith. Nobody got doubled up on faith. Every one of us have the same amount of faith when we start out. It's what we do with that faith. And in Romans chapter 2, verse 11, it says, "For there is no partiality with God." The King James says, "For there is no respect of persons with God." Simply stated, God is not a respecter of persons. The measure you were given when you received Jesus as Lord was enough to cause you to be born again. It's enough to bring victory over anything the world can throw at you. I said anything. Yeah, well, what about? I said anything. Well, you don't understand. No, anything. The faith you have is enough to overcome anything that is thrown out against you. Anything. We got to get to that point. When that comes, no, you can stand against it because of your faith. You can stand against it. Anything. All the promises to us in the Bible, whether or not you are receiving them, doesn't change the fact that they're available to you. No. See, it's not so much dealing with the transmitter of the message. It's on the receiver end. You look to the receiver end. With God as the transmitter, we got to look at the receivers. Are we having our ears open? There are people that have in their minds, though, that that's just not the way that they were brought up to believe. But see, we here at El Equipo Christian Assembly, we have been taught way different. We have been shown in the Word that all the promises in the Bible are for us. We need to start believing and receiving them. Whatsoever you desire or ask, when you pray, believe that you receive them and you shall have them. There's no ifs, maybes, or buts. That's a statement. And Jesus made it. Jesus made that statement. Would Jesus lie to you?
No.
He can't lie. He's exactly like the Father.
Amen.
Neither one can lie.
Amen.
See, it has nothing to do with your birthright, your upbringing, where you attended school or church growing up, for that matter. Has nothing to do with and does not change the availability you have to the goodness and the promises of God. Galatians chapter 4. We're going to read verses 4 through 10. "But when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive the adoption as sons. And because you are sons, God sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying out, 'Abba, Father.' Therefore, you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. But then, indeed, When you did not know God, you served those which by nature are not gods. But after you have known God, I like where he corrects himself, or rather are known by God, how is it that you turn again to the weak and beggarly elements to which you desire again to be in bondage? I should have listened. You were right. God wants to hear that. Then he wants to get us back on the right path. Get us back on track. There are a lot of people who have been set free by Jesus' grace that he gave to all of us at Calvary. But far too many are still convinced that they are not worthy. They're not worthy of it. And they choose to live their lives, if not all, at least partially condemned still by the law that Jesus abolished so long ago. To him who has ears, let him hear. All the promises to us in the Bible comes by hearing and receiving them by faith that has already been measured and given to you. How do you determine a measure? A measure is determined by the way you hear it and the way that you receive it into your life. Okay, golfers. Golfers, yeah. That's the first time he heard me clear. I had to call him three times and he never heard me. I said, yeah, and he looked right up. Oh, we're talking about golfing. Okay. Here's an illustration. There was a famous golfer who had been invited by the king of Saudi Arabia to play in a tournament. He accepted and was flown there by the king in his own private jet. They played golf, had a good time, and the golfer went home. But before he left, the king offered the golfer anything he wanted because he had made the time so special. The man was polite and said nothing except that he'd also had a wonderful time himself, and that the king didn't owe him anything. The king was persistent, and he insisted. So the man said, fine. I collect golf clubs. Why don't you give me a golf club? So the man got on the plane and went home. The golfer was trying to picture the new club that he was going to get in his collection. Would it be a driver or a putter? And he imagined it would be solid gold or a sand wedge with diamonds studded all through it. One thing he was sure of, that it would definitely be a great gift. After all, it would be from an oil-rich king from Saudi Arabia. The man waited and every day looked forward to the mail, but no golf club. Several weeks went by when he got a certified letter from the king. Odd, he thought. But where's my golf club? To the man's surprise, though, when he opened the letter, inside was a deed to a 2,000-acre golf course, a club in America. I won't relate that to Arnold Palmer. But the moral of the story, in the presence of a king, don't ask for small gifts. See, Jesus is the King of Kings. When you ask big and expect it. Expect it. Don't ask if you don't believe and expect it to happen. Because that doubt is going to stop it from manifesting. God's word encourages us to ask him for his best. And he always gives us his best. You can turn to Ephesians chapter 3. I'm going to read verse 20, but I'm going to read that to you from the New Living Translation. Now all glory to God, who is able, through his mighty power at work within us, to accomplish infinitely more than we might ask or think. More than we could even, what we could ask for or think in our heads. We are so limited by our heads. We believe with our heart. Anything is possible with God. Anything is possible. It's not a head thing. It's a heart thing. It's in Matthew 6, 33. You all know it, but I'm going to read it to you from the New Living Translation. Seek the kingdom of God above all else and live righteously, and He will give you everything you need. Those are Jesus' words, not mine. Everything means all that is related to a particular subject. What's the particular subject? You. Everything you need, He will supply. Do you believe that? That's what we got to get to that point. God has given us all the measure with which to believe. So how much are you believing for today? Turn to Matthew chapter 13. Matthew chapter 13. And I'm not going to read the whole thing. I'm just going to read verse 23. And this is about the sower. Verse 23. But he who received seed on the good ground is he who hears the word and understands it, who indeed bears fruit and produces, some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. Which number do you hear God pouring out a blessing into your life? Do you hear 30? Do you hear 60? Do I hear 100? See, if you are hearing it this evening, what are you hearing? 30 what? 60 what? 100 what? Cups of coffee or dump trucks? Moraine Lake size or Lake Erie size? I knew you would acknowledge that one. You know what, though? God wants that number to be 100 for you. See, He has more than enough resources to make it happen. And not only in your life, but in the life of every believer who is willing to step out in faith and believe Him for it. Say, I have ears.
I have ears.
Let me hear, Lord.
Let me hear, Lord.
So you got to remember, though, faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. Okay, now say this. Say, I have what God's Word says I have. I can do what God's Word says I can do.
I can do what God's Word says I can do.
I am an heir to the throne.
I am an heir to the throne.
I am a king's kid.
I am a king's kid.
You're a king's kid.
Yes.
You're an heir to the throne.
Yes.
You can do what His Word says. Mm-hmm. And He can do through you. Because all the Bible all the time says, through you. He can work mighty miracles through you, if you are willing. If you're willing to take time and get on to the jail, He'll work miracles through you to minister to those men down there. So as you're thinking about the receiving part, you're thinking about receiving from God. See, that's also, right now, I think we need to start thinking about giving in the same way. Yeah, we need to think about giving the same way. It was almost like when I said that, even doing a mess, I heard it. Everybody went, what? Wait a minute, whoa, whoa. I'm on the receiving. What do you mean giving now? Look to 2 Corinthians chapter 9. 2 Corinthians chapter 9. We'll start reading at verse 6. But this I say, He who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and he who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. So let each one give as he purposes in his heart, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you, always having all sufficiency in all things, may have an abundance for every good work. As it is written, he has dispersed abroad. He has given to the poor. His righteousness endures forever. Now may he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food supply and multiply the seed you have sown and increase the fruits of your righteousness while you are enriched in everything for all liberty, which causes thanksgiving through us to God. Now, this is cool. I got to read this in the Message Bible. Remember, a stingy planter gets a stingy crop. A lavish planter gets a lavish crop. I want each of you to take plenty of time to think it over and make up your own mind what you will give. That will protect you against sob stories and arm twisting. God loves it when you give delightfully in the giving. God can pour on the blessings in astounding ways so that you're ready for anything and everything. More than just ready to do what needs to be done, as one psalmist puts it, he throws caution to the winds, giving to the needy in reckless abandon. His right living, right giving ways never run out, never wear out. This most generous God who gives seed to the farmer that becomes bread for your meals is more than extravagant with you. He gives you something you can then give away, which grows into full-formed lives, robust in God, wealthy in every way, so that you can be generous in every way, producing with us great praise to God. I thought that was cool. See, if we give with the right attitude, God is able to give us more and so much more that we can perform other good works. See, in other words, God will see to it that the generous giver will not suffer want. He will not let you be in lack. God generously provides for those who give so that they can continue to do so. There's a man sitting right there. That's something he told me. He fit right into that. Because I know where his heart's at and what he said to me. And that's what it's truly all about. Sharing what we have been given. See, in the end, it's the only thing that's going to matter anyhow. Because even when it comes to the word, are we going to be stingy with it? Are we going to be ashamed to witness to somebody? No, don't be. Because as Bob ministered, that door that is open now, in the times we're living right now, it's going slowly closed. We have to share. Galatians chapter 3. Verses 26 through 29. That would help. For you are all sons of God through faith in Jesus Christ. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither slave nor free. There is neither male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. And if you are Christ's, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. If you believe that we are truly heirs according to the promise, isn't it about time that we started laying hold and believe the promises that Jesus went to the cross for so long ago for us? Because Jesus said in John 10:10, the thief does not come except to steal, to kill, and to destroy. I have come that they may have life, though, and that they may have it more abundantly. We are the they. Amen. We are the they. Okay? And if we're not walking in the abundant life relationship that Jesus has provided for us, the good news today is it's not too late to start. It's not too late to start. Salvation was never meant to be a life insurance policy for in the end. No. But only the beginning to a beautiful relationship and walk with the Lord in the abundant life He has promised to us all along the way and all through eternity. So I say to you tonight, start living the promise. Amen. Thank you.
Thank you, Pastor.
Thank you.